Thank you so much, Karen. Now, last week in, if you came here last week, you received one of these little business cards with some symbols on. If you've got that with you, perhaps you'd like to take it out now. If you weren't here last week, or if you would prefer a larger one, then would you put your hand out now, and Rob and I between us, and maybe Caroline and Stuart will just get these out to you. So just put your hand up if you didn't get one of these last week. There you go. Beautifully produced by a very good company. Anyone else wanting one of these? You didn't get one last week? Sorry. There we go. Any others? Great. And if you'd prefer a business card side, oh, there you go, Andrew. If you'd prefer a business card side, or you want some more, thank you, then there are plenty on the table in the porch for you to take and keep with you. Thank you. And now, before I speak, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we've thought about how we've gone astray from you. We've confessed it. Help us now to know how to explain it clearly and winsomely to the glory of your name. Amen. We Christians are called to do two things. To love God with all our being, and to love other people. And to take that second command, we were thinking last week that loving people means listening to them. If a Christian comes across a friend or a neighbor, or we meet someone for the first time, we don't principally want other people to listen to us, to tell our stories about ourselves and our children. Loving people means principally wanting to listen to them, to hear their stories, their news. And we all know how lovely it is when someone asks us about our family or our job or our opinions, and they really listen. And loving people also means talking to them about Jesus. If you'd found a brilliant way to save money, or even to bake a cake, you would tell people you meet about it. And you found a person who can save life. Jesus, by his death, can save anyone from sin and from eternal death. Surely we'll tell people we meet about him, if we can. It's the only loving thing to do. And if you discovered a TV program or a new shop that you think a friend of yours would enjoy, you'd tell her about it. And you've discovered Jesus. You know he's alive today, and anyone can enjoy his friendship as you do if they put their trust in him. Surely we'll want to tell anyone and everyone about him, anyone we can, anyone we love. Loving people means listening to them and then talking to them gently and lovingly about Jesus. Let me give you an example from this week. Catherine and I brought a single man as our guest to the play here at All Saints. We had him around beforehand to have a bite to eat, and we asked him about a lot of things, about his parents and his sisters and his job and the sport he enjoys. And we did that not, as it were, for the sake of doing it, but because we're fond of him, and of course we're interested in his life. After the play, he happened to mention in passing All Saints. And because many years ago, he used to go to church, I asked him, do you ever think about coming back? And he said, often I do. That didn't surprise me. I'd never seen any sign of it in him. But I know many people who feel that way. And it wasn't long before we were talking about Jesus. We talked about that too, because we love this man and we want the best for him. But what can we say? How can we say it? Well, that's precisely why we've given you this card. There's a time for saying to people, could I just explain to you as simply as I can how you could come to full Christian faith? You see, as these four symbols show, and incidentally, when you use this card, do show it to people. What you see often has as much or more impact as what you hear. As you can see from these symbols, there are three things to understand and one thing to do. Last week, we looked at the first thing to understand. God loves us. Can we have the next slide? God loves us. The famous verse underneath says, God so loved the world. God loves us and is offering us eternal life. We could have the next slide. Last week, we thought how to say that simply and clearly, to explain it to a friend. Now, here's the second thing to understand. We're in trouble. You can see how the verse puts it. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish. That means may not die, may not be dead to God. It's saying if we believe in Jesus Christ, we'll be alive to God and he'll be a living reality to us. But if we haven't yet clearly believed in him, we're perishing. We're dead to God, cut off from him now, and after death, cut off for eternity. We're in trouble because unforgiven sin cuts us off from God. Now, I just don't just want my friend to hear the truth. I want him to feel the truth, to realize this, that this ties in with his experience. So if I was talking to a man, I might say, well, of course, we all sin in different ways. But for us men, it's, I think, typical, for example, in our family, in family life, we're often selfish. I'm certainly much more self-centered, much more wanting my own way in the family than Catherine is. In our personal life as men, we often give in to sexual sin, letting our minds dwell on things or doing things we wouldn't want other people to know about. And in our working life, we can be pushy and not very truthful in our emails or what we say. Does that make sense? And God can't stand sin. It matters to him. It offends him deeply, and it cuts us off from him. As you see, the verse says that unless our sin is forgiven, we're perishing. We're dead to God. And that is why, for many people, God is distant, far off. It's not that God is absent, it's that our sin has cut us off from him. It's like a dark, cloudy day in Crowborough. It's not that the sun's gone away completely. It's that there are banks and banks of dark clouds stopping the sun from getting through. And that's what our sin is like. It cuts us off from God's light and warmth. And that's why we're in trouble. Now, I'm going to do as we did last week. I'm going to ask Dave Smith to come up here. I want you to imagine that Dave is not yet a Christian. Incidentally, his daughter-in-law was extremely rude in responding to him and saying that this was a very poor choice of mine. I think it's a brilliant choice. We'll clap him at the end. Anyway, here's Dave. Have a seat, Dave.
Thank you.
And I want you to imagine he's not yet a Christian, but he and I are good friends, and I brought him along to the festival. We've just heard the interview. We've heard the talk from Marcus Nodder, and I've asked him what he thought about it, and we're some way into that conversation because I said to him, Dave, I'd just love to explain to you how, if you were ready, or when you're ready, you could become a Christian. And I've taken out from my wallet, I've got two copies here. I've given you one. Okay. And I've just explained to him the first point, that God loves us and is wanting to give us eternal life. Now, this is how the conversation goes on from there. So, Dave, do you think you understand that? That the first thing to understand, as you can see, is that God loves us and wants to give us eternal life.
Well, I can see that. I think I can see that God, you know, does love us and, yeah. Love me, but I don't really see that that makes a great deal of difference.
Sure,
I don't see how that affects me now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great that you've understood that. The first point, that God loves you, that's terrific. I think you have to begin with some bad news. So before the good news comes, and there is good news coming, there's bad news first, and it's the second symbol here, if you see. The second thing to understand is we're in trouble. And in this famous verse, the most famous verse perhaps in the New Testament, it's again the part that's sort of in black about the trouble is printed here. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish. Okay? And what that means is that naturally, we are actually, you are, and I am naturally, we're dead to God. That's what obviously perishing means. And he is, as it were, dead to us. He's not a living reality to us. Because our unforgiven sin cuts us off from that love that we've just been thinking about.
Right.
And that means we're in trouble.
But I've led a really good life. I don't think I've done anything that's particularly bad. I've gone on to look after my family, and I work hard. What is that? What have I done wrong then?
Sure, and I want to agree with all that. I think you're an absolutely brilliant dad. And I think you're a particularly good father-in-law. You know, I think I totally agree with that, and I think, you know, I have a great affection for your children, and I think you've done a fantastic job as parents. So absolutely. But nevertheless, if you compare us, say, with Jesus, you see that in fact, whereas he is perfectly pure, or God is perfectly pure, there are things which you and I have done and said and thought that...
So it's not just what I've done?
No, it's what you've said and thought as well. For example, here we are in church. You see that big screen up there? And there are still people around here, obviously, from the festival. If I were to put up on the screen everything that you'd done at any stage in your life, the good things, sure, but also the things which you have done which actually nobody else knows about, which you've certainly never told your children because you're ashamed of those things. And if I were to put up on the screen everything that you have said, the kind thing, sure, but also the times when you've really lost your cool and got angry, or you've made a cutting remark to somebody and said something you really wished you could unsay, or you've said something that's been a bit arrogant, and as we all do.
Yeah.
And then if I were actually to got some marvelous technology and got into your brain and could show up on the screen everything that you have thought, even maybe over this last week when you've met somebody and you've rather looked down on them, or you've inwardly been irritated, and you never say it, but you've thought it, or you've thought a sexual thought or something like that, and I were to put all that on the screen so that everybody who's still here could see it, I wonder how long you'd stay in the room.
Well, I'd tear that down. Yeah.
But you see, if you'd feel like that in front of people who are sinful like you, weak and give in to sin like you, then do you see that compared with God, it's not going to be... We're just dirty in his sight.
Well, if you say it like that, explaining that way, then I think I understand.
You do see that. Well, that's wonderful. You see, well, it's wonderful and it's not so good, but it shows that we're in trouble. That's the second thing to understand. Now, I'd love to go on to the third thing, but that'll have to be next week.
Right.
Well, let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. Okay, now it's your turn. What we're going to do is what we're going to do last week, what we did last week. I'm going to ask you to get into twos. If you're feeling a little nervous about this and you've come with a friend, do it with them. If you're feeling a little bit more bold, don't do it with your husband and wife or a friend. Turn to someone who's a bit near you. Now, one of you is to be the person who is not yet a Christian. You're not a rampant atheist, okay? A different way of talking to those people. But so you're interested, but you're not there yet. Now, it may be that that is actually true for some of you here, in which case, pair up with someone and definitely you play yourself. But someone of each couple needs to be the person who's in that position. Now, the other one of you is the Christian. You've been talking for a little time. You've already explained God loves us and wants to give us eternal life. Now's the time to talk about we're in trouble. Here are two tips, because I've just done this with some other people at the 9:15. Do show people the card. Just show them the symbol, because it helps to understand. And secondly, give some examples of sin so that it's earthed for that person. Now, I know some of you actually, you know, the very thought of doing a role play like this gives you the heebie-jeebies. I'm well aware of that. And it's not the end of the world. If you really don't want to do it, that's fine. But I'd love to encourage you to, because the festival's coming up, Christmas is coming up, tomorrow's coming up. And there may be an opportunity at any time to explain this to someone. That's why I say, keep it in your wallet, keep it in your handbag. And it's just like learning the piano. Chris, if you don't practice, I think you'll never get good at the piano. Is that right? Okay. Just the same with explaining the Christian message. It's as you practice that you learn. And the easiest way is to practice with a friend who's not going to bawl you out now. Okay? So you'd like to get into groups of two. One of you play the part of a non-Christian. The other one begins by saying, here's the opening line, I don't think there's anything really wrong with me. Take it from there. Okay. Well, I wonder how you got on. I was with Robin at the back, and he explained the story. The way he took it round was to explain the story of the first temptation in the Garden of Eden, and he explained the story really, really well. So it would be great. I hope that you also found that you were able to do this. It's difficult at first, isn't it? But it's simply by practicing that we actually learn how to explain the Christian faith. And then how exciting to do it for real and not just for practice in this way. Let me pray that some of us will have the opportunity, even this week, to explain something about Jesus. Father, we love you and your Son, and we love other people. There are many people whom we love, and we want you to ask you to help us to love people more and more. And there's nothing we would like to do more, even though it makes us nervous, than to pass on in a clear way the good news of Jesus, even though there's bad news in it as well. Help us, we pray, this week to have the eyes and the ears to see if there's any opportunity to speak about the Jesus whom we love to the people whom we love. And give us the words, we pray, to explain it clearly and simply. To your glory. Amen.